All right, today the Holy Spirit wants to teach us something. First, I have to erase the board. You can't teach without a board. It's the same board Jesus used. It's a good board. All right, I want to look today at God because that's what the church should look at. I want to show you something about God that you've all heard. God is good. Now, God is good. Now, I'm going to show you something about God's goodness. First of all, not only is God good, he's the only one that's good. So I'm going to write that down. God alone is good. God alone is good. So, in the Hebrew, that word is tov, okay? Tov. And I believe it's agathon in the Greek. Is that right, Nick? Agathon? Agathon? Agathon. All right. So, not only is God good, he's the only one that's good. Now, you'll have to think about that for a minute because that puts you in a bad light. So you have to think about that. If he's the only one that's good, then you're not. So you have to think about that and take that in. Because you know you're supposed to be good. But you know what? You're not. So I'm going to write then down here the obvious. I am not good, and then I'm going to write three dots, dot, 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 unless I am right with God. Okay, so God is good. Number two, God is the only one that's good. Number three, I'm not good unless I'm right with God. Now, to be right with God would mean I must live and act in right relationship with God. So the only way I could be good is if I'm in right relationship with God. Now I'm going to say, I am never right with God by the law, by the working of the law. So I can't be made right by the working of the law. So if I'm going to be right, it has to be by some other way. It's going to have to derive from something other than me as the source. To get this down, because it'll change your life. It'll make everything suddenly clear as far as the Bible is concerned. You will not be able to communicate with people anymore, though.
Amen.
Because people do not understand this teaching. So people are wrong, the teaching is right. Now, I'm never right with God. I'm never in right relationship with God when I'm performing. If I did the performing, if the work originated from me under the law, I did not please God. I was not right with God. So I am right with God. I am right with God by relating, that is, receiving two things, His mercy. And His power. Which is nothing more than to say His grace. Grace is mercy and power. So the only way I can be right with God is not by performance, but is by faith. So this is a faith-based relationship, and this is a performance-based non-relationship. Here, I'm under performance. Here, I'm relating to His performance. So the source, then, of my rightness with God is that I don't do good works. The source, then, of my rightness with God is that I never approach Him based upon my good works. He doesn't want me to approach Him that way. God wants me to approach Him repenting that I didn't do any good works. I never did any good works. And I will never do any good works.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen. It is praise the Lord. Carla's got it right. But nobody understands that, because church teaches you should do good works, especially after you're born again. You should do some good works. But if you are doing them, then you are legalistic and you have no relationship to the living God. Even though you were born again, you're not using your born again properly. You're thinking you're going to do it, now prove that you're spiritual. You cannot obligate God by your works. God will not pay a wage to you. Oh, you did good. No, only God is good. So if good was done, He did it. You didn't did it. Well, we like to take credit. That's our pride. That's our rebellion. That's our lack of faith, is to say, I did a good work, or I wanted to do a good work, or I tried to do a good work. That is evil in God's sight. Only God can judge what's good, because God is good. God doesn't merely do good. God is good. He doesn't merely do good. All His works are good. All His works are good. Let there be light, and there was light, and it was good in the sight of the Lord. All his works are good. So not only is God good, but everything He does is good, but everything you does is not good. Unless, you're rightly related to Him, not by works of the law, but merely by faith in His finished work, which was done for you on the cross, in you through the Holy Ghost, and through you by the operation and power of the Holy Spirit, leading and guiding and transforming and changing and empowering you from glory to glory to glory, beholding Him who is good. You not being good of yourself, but being good by relationship, not through the law, but by relationship through the Spirit. In other words, you were not just good by creation, and God created the light, and He said it was good. That's created good. But it's derivative. It's not good like God is good. It's good because God, who is good, made it. But its good is derived. Now, you are not good because you were created. Though you were created in His image and likeness, you sinned. And therefore, you're not good by creation, but you're good only if you admit you're not good apart from God and require His mercy. Therefore, He's not obligated to give it. You're asking for it. You can't demand it, but He gives it to you. Even before you ask, He's already given it to you. He provided it long before anybody asked for it. Freely, no law. He wasn't obliged to do it. Well, I better do it. I have to do it. I'm God. No, He had no necessity to do it. In fact, He could easily, under the law, have killed you, slain you, destroyed you. You have the power to hurt other people when they do wrong. You could criticize them. You can divorce them. You can ignore them. You can yell at them and scream at them. You can be miserable around them. A lot of ways to punish people for being bad. God had all those ways and he didn't do any of them. God did not do it. It's okay. God did not do any of those. Now you don't have to do that. There's no law that makes you criticize people, divorce them, ignore them, hate them, injure them back, take vengeance upon them. And matter of fact, God says vengeance is mine. He would like to be the one to get them. And the way he gets them is by telling them about his son Jesus. And that gets them. Because now their pride has to be gone. They have to humble themselves and say, Lord, we can't be made right with you. We can't do good. We can't be good. You can't do good if you can't be good. Make the tree good, then the fruit will be good. You can't have the fruit good unless the tree is good. You have to be good to do good. But you can't be good by the law. You aren't good in yourself. God is good. None is good but God. Only God is good. Jesus did not say he was good. Jesus said God is good. But through Jesus, you can be made good as a gift through mercy and power. But you cannot be made good by keeping the law. You can't make yourself good because the tree's bad. You have to be born again, created not by God, but of God. Created not by God, but of God. Because God is good, and if you're of God, you're good. But how do you become of God? Not under the law, but only by relationship. Jesus did not keep the works of the law because he was under the law. He kept the works of the law because he wanted to, because he was of God. He didn't keep the law which is given to creatures because he wasn't just a creature. He came under the law as a creature so that he might redeem you, so that you would no longer be a created being, but you would actually be part of the Godhead, a partaker of the divine nature. Actually partaking of his very divinity. You are included in his divinity. If you can get a hold of that, it'll raise your consciousness. It'll raise your understanding. It'll give you insight into who you are. You are not who you appear to be. You are not who you think you are. You are not who you feel you are. And you're certainly not what you've done. But that God cannot force on you. That's something that you must learn, and I'm preaching it to you, I'm telling it to you, and I'm right. Why am I right? Because my rightness with God is that I'm not good. Only God is good. God is good, only God is good. I am not good, and I never will be good. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I can't be or do good unless I'm not apart from him, but in him, through him, with him, in relationship. And that comes by mercy. I can't demand of him, God, put me in relationship with you. I can't demand it. Marry me, adopt me, birth me. I can't demand it. As a matter of fact, I have no ground to demand it because I'm not good. Only God is good, and how can he relate to me who am not good? And he told me to be good, and I wasn't. So I have to always come to him broken, humble, completely without prop. I can't make God relate to me. He doesn't want me to. Only God is good. And he's the giver. He's never the taker. And you are never the giver. God, I did something for you. You never have done anything for God. You cannot do for God. You cannot be for God. There's nothing. The only thing you should do is get right with him. How? Well, how can I do that? You can't. But it's given to you by faith. You can take it. By faith, you can take it, not by works. Okay, I'd like to be right with God. No, you don't decide that. He's just offered that and said, because of what I did in Jesus Christ, you're now saved if you want it. And that's all you can do. You can't take it. It was just offered to you, and if you want it, take it. Whosoever will may come. If you want it, I provided it in Jesus. Well, I want it through Buddha. I'm not offering it through Buddha. Well, I'd like it through Muhammad. You can't get it through Muhammad. This is the only way he's going to offer it, through Jesus Christ. Well, what about Buddha? Well, I'm not going to offer it through Buddha. You can't be good through Buddha. Well, I know some Buddhists, and they're nice. It's meaningless. He hates nice. Well, I know some Muslims, and they're good. He hates good. God hates good. He hates it. What you call good is not good in his sight. What he wants is you broken, humble, nothing, no obligation, no hope, nothing in yourself. You're finished, wicked to the hilt. Amen. Thank God I have this group right here today. I can just look around. I can see that everybody here is, in fact, wicked. Sometimes we have people that are not so sure. But this group is, I tell you, I just feel confident in this group right here. Lois, you are wicked. Yes, thank you. I know Joyce is. You must know that when you approach God, the thing that he likes is that you're well aware that you did not obligate him.
Oh, that's a revelation.
It is. And he then remains always what he is, the giver. Why? Because he's good. He only gives good gifts. He never has given a bad gift. He cannot give a bad gift. He cannot do evil. God cannot be tempted with evil. So God, who is good, likes to be the giver. He never likes to be the taker. Give me this, give me that. God never is the taker. That is a joke on God's part when he says, be good. Your response should not be, okay, I'll try. Your response would be, should be, must be, I can't. I didn't. I won't. That's what he wanted. It's exactly what he wanted. I would that you were cold. Doesn't want you to pretend. You know, what he says, when he says good, he means perfectly good. I mean absolutely clean, forever good, always, from every moment of your second of your breathing. Well, none of us are good. Jesus said, I always do what's pleasing my Father. None of us have ever said that. I hope there's no one here that imagines that for even 5 seconds you were good, let alone your entire life, even before birth. When were you good? When were you a giver? When did you ever give? Oh, I did this for so-and-so. Well, then it'll perish with you and poison the one to whom you gave it. You just stole glory from God. It's true you could minister God's goodness, but only if you were dead. Because if you're alive, you'll minister your own. You would have to be well aware that only God is good. God is good. Let Israel say, the Lord is good. God is good and his mercy endureth forever. Only God is good and only God is good and only God is good. Then the contrast is, I am not. If only God is good, then I'm not. So some say, well, maybe Jesus is good. Good teacher, and he said, God is good. Only God is good. Even Jesus didn't claim to be good. Though, of course, he's good if he's right with God. But he is God. So only God is good was really another way of saying, I'm God. And you know, you can be good now because you're born of God. And when you're born of God, you are a partaker of the divine nature and you can't perish. Good lives forever. Evil perishes. Everything that's evil, everything that was created by God will perish. Because it was a derivative good at best. And he saw the light and he said the light was good. So the light is good because he made it. But he made it temporal. He didn't make it eternal. To make it eternal would be of himself. Light is not eternal. Matter is not eternal. Nothing of this word is eternal, of this world. So God, to make something everlasting, forever and ever, beyond this world, it would have to be him, because only God is good, and only God is eternal. So, but he can grant you that. You can't make him grant you that, but he can do it if he wants to, and he wants to. So he has offered goodness to you, and when something good is done, give him the glory. Don't say, I did it without relationship. Don't say, well, I did that. Did everybody notice I did that? Could you take a picture of me doing that? You know, you can't get that because you didn't do it. You must remain repentant. You must remain believing. You must remain completely weak. Because when you're weak, then the Holy Spirit, the good, is done. You didn't do it. You were just simply dead. The only thing that made you good was dead. Dead is good. When you're dead, that's good. Because then you're not doing anything. So, only God is good. God is good. God alone is good. Tov in the Hebrew. Agathon. And I am not good unless I'm right with God. I am good if I'm right with God. Why? Because I'm in right relationship, not through the law where I would obligate him, but through the mercy, through the gospel, where I didn't deserve anything, but he gave it to me and I accepted it. He said, I only came for sinners. So this cross is only offered for people that are wicked. You have to be wicked to be a Christian. Thank God I was well qualified. I was well qualified. Even to this day, I would still be well qualified. I mean, if for a moment God removed his presence from me, I would just degenerate. And so would you. Now, if you're not aware of that, you're still playing a game, you will perish. If you're still imagining you could be good, you could do what God wanted, you could establish your own righteousness, then you'll perish. That's why we love the unbeliever, because we want them to know, enter into his rest. Don't be good. Let God be good. Let God be good. Let God be God. Let God be God. Don't be God. Don't be good. God is good. Let Israel say, the Lord is good. Let Israel say continually, the Lord is good. Only Israel could say it. If a Greek said it, it would be meaningless, because they'd have no comprehension of what they just said. Even though they said something, they have no comprehension because they didn't know even what good was. They knew there was a good, but they just didn't know what the word meant. So what is good? Is good doing what's good and avoiding what's evil, behavior? How do I know what's good? I have to know what's sinful. In order to know what's good, I'd have to know what's not good. Well, no religion has ever come up with, no philosophy has ever come up with, no human being has ever come up with good and evil. They have never figured it out. Here's what's evil: not believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. I thought evil was breaking the Ten Commandments. It's not. That's not what evil is. That's not even close to evil. That's not even a billion miles close to evil. Breaking one of the commandments, murdering, committing adultery, divorcing, spitting on people, it's nothing. What's evil is not to know that Jesus Christ is the only one who's good, that he's offered you a way out. What's evil is to imagine you could still do good and eliminate Jesus, not be in relationship to Jesus, acting independent without the work of the Holy Spirit, without the Lord Jesus Christ. You need the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to give you mercy, and you need the power of the Holy Ghost to operate God's goodness through you. So you can't be good. The first act of being right with God, the first act is by faith, wherein I do not obligate God by my good works, but he has moved upon me through his good work, and I believe on him. So I believe in the blood of Jesus, and therein lies my imputed righteousness. Not actual, just imputed. How many know that you are made right even though you haven't done right? You're made right long before you've done right. So that's the first aspect of relationship, is faith. All relationship must start with faith. You cannot have a relationship unless it's based on faith. There's no relationship based on performance. So if God is good, that's what he'd be good, is to give you the opportunity to believe on Jesus. Because that's the only thing that's good. Keeping his law is not good, because you can't do it. Jesus can do it, but you can't do it. But Jesus doesn't do it under the law. He does it just because he wants to. And you never have done it because you wanted to. Nobody ever has done good because they wanted to. Well, I wanted to help her. No, you didn't. Only Christ did. Christ in you. Yes, but give him the glory. Don't take the glory for yourself. Well, I was kind. You were? That's amazing. That is fundamentally amazing. You were kind? Well, a little help from Jesus. A little help from Jesus. I thought he did it all. Well, he helped. Yeah, he and I were working together on that. I don't think so. Working together? I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think you were working with him. I think he gets all the glory because he did it all. And you just took the credit. You got the reward of it. But he's the one that made the tree good. You didn't. He's the one that bore the fruit. You didn't. You were completely, totally, 100% passive. Now, that's the first part of the relationship. The second part of the relationship is not faith, but is meditation on the Spirit which lives in you, not the blood that Jesus did for you, but the Spirit who now lives in you, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which makes you actually righteous through his indwelling presence. Actual righteousness. Actually, that's how you're right with God now. You're right, you're good, only because he lives in you. Who? Well, the one that died for you is the one that lives in you. So A and B is the result of a relationship, not of a performance. You did no performance. So when I teach, and please do not misunderstand that I did anything. I'm not a teacher. I'm not an anything. I'm just, to the extent I'm dead, the Lord can use me. To the extent I'm still living, I'll take a little credit. I'll take some glory for it. And I've been known to do that. I've been known to do that. And I'll do it at every opportunity I possibly can until the Lord kills me. I need death desperately. Because I'm a living, breathing, self-preserving, arrogant, evil, nasty person apart from Christ. You can only endure me at all because I'm to some extent believing in Jesus and to some extent being moved by the Holy Spirit. It's the only way you could live with me. I am unbearable otherwise. I can't speak for anyone else here. I can only speak for myself, but I dare say I am typical and normal. And you are equal to me, if not more devious and wretched. By your self-conceit. Amen. Now, if you have no self-conceit, we're equal. But if you imagine for a moment that you could do anything that would obligate God, see, if you did a good work, you would obligate God. If you could do a good work, you would obligate God. You could say, God, I did a good work. Pay up. Here's a good work. It's one just like you did. I don't think so. I don't think anyone has done the work that God did. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I believe that's either 37 or 38, 1. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. God is good. Only God is good. None doeth good. No, not one. Romans 3. There's no way that you can ever do good. None. None is good. None is righteous. None. No man could ever claim to obligate God. God, pay me. I just was good. Exalt me now. No, I don't think so. He said, okay, I'll pay you. If he paid you, you wouldn't like to pay. All you can produce apart from him is sin. Right? Now, you say, well, I've heard this 1,000 times, Pastor. I'm sure you have, but you're not doing it. You are so quickly persuaded otherwise. Well, she came over and I was about to say something, but I didn't. Thank the Lord I didn't say anything. Yeah, thank the Lord, but not you. You get no credit. The way you said it, it sounds like you did a good thing. It sounds like you were taking just a teeny weeny 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 bit of credit on that. This is the problem with the whole world, is we're still trying to obligate God. You can't see, here's the problem with that. If God were obligated, then he couldn't be a giver. Because you did something and he owed you. So then he didn't give it to you. He had to give it to you because he owed it to you. It was yours. I just did something. Pay. I worked 8 hours. Give me my pay. I was nice. Give me heaven. Well, then God wouldn't be a giver. God reserves to himself the right to be the only giver in the world. What do you have that you weren't given? That's why you're only a response, and it's not a gift. It's just to respond to the fact that every gift, every good and perfect gift, comes from above. Every good. Only God is good. So every gift comes from above, therefore you couldn't give a gift. Unless derivatively, being in right relationship by faith and by the power of the indwelling Holy Ghost, in which case he did it all. He doesn't say, now let's share in this. You do your part, I'll do my part. What part will you do? You're not capable of doing anything. Even in relationship, your relationship must be very clear that he doeth it all. That's the kind of relationship it is, where he, the lead ox, does all the pulling, and you are just kind of running along for the ride. I've said this many times, but when a little kid is out mowing the lawn with his dad and he's hanging on the thing, actually pulling down on the handle, and the dad is lifting it up and dad's doing all the things, the little kid says to his mom, Mom, look, I'm mowing the lawn. And to the little kid, he's doing it, but actually the father knows and the mother knows he's not doing anything. When the little kid paints a picture and the mother's guiding the crayon and the hand and so on, the little kid, he'll take credit for it. Hey, Mom, Dad, look at this. I did this picture. Well, did you do that? Yes. See, my name is on it. When he believes that's his picture. He'll tell everybody. That was a picture I did. Look at this right here. You did that? Yes. And he's taking all the credit. And then they'll ask the question, well, did Mom help? That stuns that little kid. For a moment, he's stunned. Yeah, she did a little. Because he knows she didn't do it because it was his hand that did it. Not realizing that was derivative. The mother did it. But the little kid took the credit. Because if you let the little kid do it, not only would that picture be colored, the table would be covered, you know, the wall would be covered, everything would be covered. Because that little, in fact, he'd have eaten the crayon. And little kids are just not able, and you're not able. Boy, I pray this is good news. I know some of you are struggling with this because you're not willing to accept that God is good. You still haven't got on this idea that you never have been good, never will be good, never could be good in a gazillion years. All born again doesn't help you at all. That's just imputed. The power of the Holy Spirit, you can block him. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. You're able, even as a born-again believer, to grieve. I believe, but I can grieve. I've done it. I know that grace is resistible. I don't agree with Calvin at all. I know grace can be resisted because I've done it. I've heard God say, Jim, go and read your Bible. Nah, I'm gonna watch this commercial. Well, Jim, right now I want you to go read your Bible. Well, I thought I'd sleep in a little bit here. Well, Jim, you're grieving the Holy Spirit. Oh, well, he'll handle it. I've done that. I have done that, I think, on a daily basis. I believe I've done that daily. I believe I've done it daily where I've resisted God and he didn't kill me or slay me. I would have. Why, you ungrateful wretch. But God never says that. A party called me up last night, I'd say 3 o'clock. But, you know, drunk and smoking marijuana and whatever. And swearing, blue blazes. And, you know, what am I supposed to do? Should I rebuke him and criticize him? Should I enable him? Should I speak? Should I be silent? What am I to do? What's the good thing to do? What's the right thing to do? There is no answer. Just no answer. But I was meditating as he was swearing and saying things that were incredulous. That blew my mind. I was praying, God, it's my fault. I haven't paid attention. How wicked I am. That's what I was praying. I wasn't even answering that person because he was just going on and on anyway. Just go on and on. And I realized this is one of my sheep. It's like, uh-oh. God, that's one of my on-the-edge sheep. But maybe God doesn't look at it that way. See, I would like to edge him away off to the side. Look at these over here. Look at these. They still have their teeth in. Look at those. Don't regard this one. I tell you, you have to just ask the Holy Spirit what to say. I don't know what to say. I'm not good. I don't have a good bone in my body. I could have sworn back. I could have hung up the phone. I could have preached to him. I could have done 1,000 things. There is no right answer. Because the Holy Spirit has to do the leading and the guiding and the speaking. And if you were a normal human being, you just cut that person off. It's so easy. I know 100 ways to do it. But I have to ask Jesus. Jesus, you know, what are you doing right now? Not what would you do? I'm not asking that silly question with some bracelet on my arm. I'm asking, what are you doing right now? What are you saying right now? To break this satanic stronghold. And you know, and your own mind will help you out. Say this, do this, don't do this, don't do that. But I'm not good. I don't imagine I'm good. I was just overwhelmed with my own evil and wretchedness rather than with the brilliance of my response. It was almost like he wasn't there for a while. And I was just thinking, you know, this is my fault. In many ways, I'm responsible. I don't say fully, because that would be good if I did that. I'll just say, to some degree, to whatever degree the Lord has assigned to me, I still have some relationship to what's going on here. And that person called me. For a reason. Out of all the people in the world, why did he get a hold of my phone number at that ungodly hour? I remember how I first answered the phone. I did that deliberately. Whoever that was, I was going to punish him. I didn't want him to think, hi. You know, I didn't want to have that response. And I enjoyed that. Was that good? Because I knew that was going to be a 30, 45-minute phone call. Because after they got done swearing and railing and whatever else, who knows what can happen on such a person that's completely demonized. You all understand? That person could drive by and shoot you. You have no idea. You have to live in the real world and say, God, I don't have any power. Forget where they are. I don't have any power apart from you. But because I'm not apart from you, I have to build yourself up. Oh, yeah, that's right. The truth's setting me free here. Oh, yeah, because that's true. I know I have the right words to say. I'll say the right words because I'll let him say all the right words. Let him give me the right thoughts. And it'll work out great. It'll be a victory rather than a defeat. Because the devil could snatch a victory right there. Do you all understand? So I don't always get 8 hours sleep. In fact, I don't know if I ever get 8 hours sleep anymore, but I don't get a day off. I don't have that luxury. I'm not complaining. I'm explaining. It because I work for Jesus. I never know what time he's going to wake up. It could have been an African. Yesterday I sat here with an African. Now I have to go to Africa. I have to go. I told him flat out, no, I hate Africa. I'll never go. I just told him that flat out. That was my good work. I told him that. I hate Africa. Then he started telling me his testimonies. I got inspired. And then he said these words, Pastor, the only reason I've come to America is to personally sit down with you and ask you to come. So I laughed. I ain't coming. I hate Africa. I hate your country. It's too far. And the food stinks. And the mosquitoes bite me. I mean, I don't like anything about it. Pastor, pray about it. Pray about it. This guy was good. Pray about it. Oh, man. And he's wearing me down. He's getting me down to the point where I found myself saying these words as I was praying to the Holy Spirit. I was resisting him with everything that I had. I'd finished him off. There was no way he could break through. But I found the words coming out of my mouth. I'll be there. I'll be there. I'm going. Oh, my gosh. What's a good work? How does anyone know? That man doesn't own me. No one owns me. Jesus owns me. He bought me with a price. I don't go where anyone says. I don't do what anyone says. I don't please people. I please him. Him alone. I'm not saying I always do. What I'm saying is that is what God wants. What is good? Well, it's being right with God. Jesus, what are you doing right now? Would you go to this God-forsaken place? I hate Africa. I was just saying last week, I'm never going to go back again. I was just saying that. I swore an oath. God, I am way too old. I need to stop teaching and preaching and all this stuff and just do what I need to do. And none of this stuff. I'm backing off. I just said that. I just was saying that for the last 3 or 4 days. I was determined. And then this guy calls yesterday. Pastor Jim. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
You want money. What do you want? You know. But I'll give money before I'll go, you know. Take some money. Only God is good. I don't own my life. I don't have a life. I gave up my life. So to be right with God is to be in relationship with God, which has an A and a B part. Jesus, through his blood on Calvary, and Jesus as Lord through the Holy Ghost living in you. Two different ways, first and second, A and B, one following the other. Can't have the second without the first. Can't have B without A. First, you have to have imputed righteousness. Then you have to have actual righteousness. And that's what God is doing in each of us so that you may walk in the good works which the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 2:6, which the Holy Spirit will work in you by his operation that were prepared before the foundation of the world. The good work that I did yesterday, talking to that man, that I did last night, talking to another, I have so many things on my plate, I not only 3 years behind, I can't even get a day finished now. Everything is awful. And if I thought of myself always getting to the point someday in my life where I'm beyond, kind of where I arrived and got somewhere where kind of like coasting downhill. But instead, I seem to be adding more mountains to my life. I climbed a mountain and I'm tuckered out. And then God says, now here's a mountain. I just did a mountain. I was trying to go into a valley now, kind of head down, where it's cool. But you don't run your own life. Amen? You don't get to determine when you'll live and when you'll die and what you'll eat and what you wear and where you go. And no, this is beautiful. This is the Christian walk. Oh, and by the way, Jim, rejoice. Oh. So I had to change my, I had to change that to hallelujah. Hallelujah. I didn't want to say hallelujah. I was thinking of a whole bunch of other words. I had a lot of other vocabulary inside of me. You know, I thought of swearing back. I thought of, you know, I thought of a lot of things. Rebuking the man, you know, indulging him. You know, just a lot of things to get rid of the situation so I go back to bed. Well, praise the Lord. That was the last thing I was thinking of saying. But that's what the Holy Spirit said. Tell him right now. Build the man up. Tell him. You love him. I love you, so-and-so. And that made a difference. You got to know when to say it and when not to say it and whatever. And I'm so busy just trying to figure out what I'm up to. I don't know how to be good. Only God is good. And if he's good, that's good. Then there is no down. There is no depression. There is no worry. There is no care. There is no fear. There is no behind the times. Ha! That is amazing. Get up. Get going. You get a second wind. Don't tucker out. I was tuckered out. Last night, Peg and I were doing something, and Peg saw that I suddenly wasn't doing something. She was doing it. What are you doing? She said. I'm just going to rest here for a minute. I'm old. I'm tired. Well, you expect me to keep going? Yes. You're young and vigorous. You're full of inspiration. But I'm just tired. And I really wanted to get up and help, but I couldn't. I just sat and I fell asleep. Just fell right asleep. I don't know. God is good. God is good. If you get a hold of that, you'll put a smile on your face. Forget that God is good. The fact that he's good affects me. It puts a smile on my face. You know, well, hallelujah. God is good, but God alone is good. That's even better. He's the only one that's good. There is no other. There is no other. Jesus said in Matthew and in Mark and in Luke, all three, none is good but God. He repeated it over and over again. None doeth righteous, Paul wrote. It's in the Old Testament in all the Psalms, over and over again, how God alone is good. And there's two ways in which he's good. Number one, because he doesn't want works from me, he wants faith from me. That is good. That's good. Let God, who is good, do the good. That's good. Let God, who is good, do the good. Why would God make a law for me to be good when I'm not good? That's no good. I thought God was good, yes, but I thought God alone was good, yes. Then I can't be good, yes. That's right. I can't be good. Woo! What a relief. Because I'm very good at being not good. I'm just very good at it. I'm a natural. Is anyone else like me? I'm just not good at being good. Even when I'm pretending I'm good, I'm not. I knew what I was doing as I was closing my eyes last night and Peggy was still working. I knew that was not good. But I wasn't good. So I just went ahead and closed my eyes. Peg, I'm falling asleep. Well, get up. You want me to work, do you? Yeah, I do. And it was awful. I knew that. I wished I had the energy or whatever to get up and do it, and I could force myself, but really, I just had to sleep. I just fell asleep. Then I came home, and I fell into bed, and she said, what are you doing? This is the same thing. I'm going to sleep. Trying to get, you know, her permission. Peg, I have to go to sleep right now. You can stay up, though. No, you're going to bed, I'm going to bed. No, Peg, you can do plenty if you want. I have taught her to be evil like myself. Peg is now learning to be evil because she was raised to be dutiful. Try to be good, or at least feel guilty when you're not. Now, she's becoming just like me. It's terrible. Because nobody's doing anything now. I am not good. Unless I'm right with God. You see, not unless I perform. Unless I'm right with God. There's a difference between righteousness, dikaios, sune, and goodness, hagios, which gives glory to God, doxa. Those are different words. Those are different words. I am right with God is not performance at all. That's not hagios and doxa. That's just dikaiosune, believing that somebody else was good on my behalf and I wasn't. Looking to someone else for good. I'm looking to an older brother or to a parent or to a friend or to Peggy or to the church or somebody. You be good. All right, now I'm tired. And God's okay with that. He'll impute to me righteousness, just like I did to the man that called me at 3 in the morning when I was tired. I was trying to punish him so he'd hang up or at least feel terribly guilty about waking me and never do it again. Is anyone a play actor like I am? I knew that was the wrong thing to do, but I just did it. I wanted to punish him so bad. Whoever that was, I want to punish you. Now, I could have answered cheerfully, "Hey, praise the Lord, waiting for your call." I could have, but I didn't. Who's good? You're right, Carla. God is good. God alone is good. That is really interesting. Therefore, I'm not good. Therefore, right, these three little dots here. Therefore, I am not good unless. It's not over with. You see how it kind of moves. God is good. God only is good. None else is good. I'm not good unless I'm rightly related, not through the law, by performance, but through faith, through his performance, not mine. Oh, I like that. And then, not only that, but if I have one of these A's, I can get a B. I can get the Holy Ghost. Lord, baptize me in your Holy Spirit. Lord, baptize me in your Holy Spirit. Not so I can speak in tongues and lengthen legs and sing happy songs. No, baptize me in the Holy Spirit so that I can be made holy, like unto you, that I would be Christ-like in everything I think and say and do. Man, that'd be the death of me. That would be the death of me if I actually would let Jesus be my whole life. As it is, I give him 20 minutes on Sunday morning, and now he's taking up and gobbling up some parts of Monday. It won't be long before he'll have the whole week. And when will I have time to be me? Where will I be? I'll disappear from the face of the earth. Carla's getting it. It's freedom. It's freedom. When you're raised Pentecostal, that's freedom. When you're raised Pentecostal, that's freedom. Because even though they talk about the power of the Holy Spirit, it's actually a lot of willpower. Pentecostals never worked out the will. It's their biggest problem. They believe that Jesus died for them as their Savior, and they believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. They know that. They believe in miracles, signs, and wonders. They believe in all that, but they don't know what to do with the will. That is, with themselves. Where's my part? Where's his part? If God is good, your part is not to do your part. It's to let him do his part and then do your part. Oh, I tell you, that is good. That is good. That is good. To me, that's good. Whew. Because what a relief not to have to do my part. Because right away, I take on a burden and responsibility. Golly, I not only have to do right under the law, under Abraham and Moses and all those guys, but now I have to do I have Jesus forgiven me, so I can't complain now about that. I got the Holy Spirit living in me, so I can apparently do everything. And now I'm really under a burden. I got to please Moses and Jesus and Abraham and everybody. And thanks be unto God, God is good. What a relief to know that God is good. Now, I know I've made my point a gamillion times, but that's okay. I know every one of you hasn't filtered that all the way down yet till you're rejoicing completely in your spirit that I'm free because God is good. You have it intellectually, yes, I'm sure you do. I'm sure you could repeat it. I'm sure I've said it so many times. You could repeat it and give the same jokes. But you know what? You've got to get it in your life. So you're just free. Free at last. Breathing free. Because God, who is good, all he has ever wanted, one thing. His original intention and purpose was never that you would be right with him through the law, that you would be right with him through the gospel. First part of the gospel, faith through the blood of the cross. Second part of the gospel, not faith, meditation, which brings about the operation of the Holy Ghost, who's in you to will and then to do. So, B has B1 and B2. B is will, and then B is do. So that's good. That's good. That's good. That's good. That's good. It's all good, because it's all God. It's not good to keep the law. It's good for God to keep the law for you. Then it's good for God to keep the law in you. Then it's good for God to have killed you so that you can then do the will of the Lord when you're dead. And you're resurrected as a son, as a daughter, as one related to God. And when you see yourself that way, you won't answer the phone like this. You won't do it. You won't do it. I punished that guy. I was punishing him. I thought about that carefully. I'm going to get you so that you will never call again. I let him know, this is painful for me to talk to you. I didn't say anything, but that was what I was saying. I am subtle and clever. And he was trying to talk, you know, and give his line, give his little pitch. I grunted in such a way that, you know, I punished him. But being a pastor, you're not supposed to do that. You see, God is good. I'm not. I was not aware of what he was saying, swearing, cursing, you know, threatening, all this stuff. I was more aware of, you know, I'm not Christ yet. I'm not Jesus Christ yet. I'm not dead to myself yet. I still have more sin. And I've been a Christian for over a year. I think I've been a Christian for 10 years. Maybe 20. I'd have to think about that. I've been a Christian a long time. Is anyone here? For 30. 30. I have 30. I have 40. We have 40. 40 going to 50. I don't know. I mean, how long have we been Christians, but we're still not getting it? We're still not dead. We're still doing good. Stop doing good. You ain't good. You're not good. God is good. God alone is good. You're not good. None is good. I don't know. I don't know. That's in the Bible. That's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. I'm just quoting to you what's in the Bible. Now I'm going to read a couple of scriptures because I think you got my main point. I never have anything more than the main point. By the way, I've repeated this for the last 20, 30 years.
What about the scripture that says your good deeds will return to bless you?
Yeah. Well, all of those are to be understood in the light of what I just said.
So as God does good deeds through you, then you will be blessed. For allowing God to do
business. Yeah, which is another way of saying he just gave you a free gift.
Okay.
So I'm still not taking a burden.
Okay.
I'm only taking the blessing. God will only bear the burden. He will never, ever take the blessing.
So the more we listen to the Lord, the closer we are in the grace, and the more good that comes through, then the more blessed we'll be. So
right.
It behooves us.
As long as you don't think it's a performance to get something.
Yeah.
See, because the temptation there is to think, okay, I'll praise him and then he'll do this. Or, you know, if you're obligated, you missed God, because he's a giver and it's free. And then when you give him thanks, it has to be free too. You can't give him thanks to say, okay, I'll give him thanks because he needs it. No, he doesn't need it. You give thanks because it's right, because he's a giver, and that's the way to do it. Why? Because he freely gave and you freely gave it back, and that's what he wanted. That's always what he intended.
Galatians 2:20 says that you're crucified with him, and if you're crucified with him, you're dead.
Mm-hmm.
You are dead, and we become deader as we let him live through us.
Right.
But as long as I think something's good and I'm going to do this for somebody, that's not God.
Right.
It may be, but it may not be. And if it's emotional, you can't tell.
Right. See, this is why marriage works or doesn't work. This is why relationships, like the guy who called, either work or don't work. If I see, what I was tempted to do was put a burden on him, like the grunt. That was the beginning of my burdening this guy. Like, don't you ever call again. You know, that's like that. But as I was listening to God, not to the person who needs punishment, who needs rebuke, who needs something, God was saying, no, Jim, don't burden this person. That doesn't mean indulge him, because that's a burden too. If he kills himself that night or destroys himself or whatever, you didn't help him. So how? How? What's good? What's right? You have to be dead so that you can hear clearly. Otherwise, I'd be hearing myself, and I heard myself. That was myself. I know that was not Jesus. That was me. I delighted in doing that, too. I thought that was brilliant. I thought that was brilliant on my part. I thought that was great. I did, until God spoke to me. Jim, I would not have done that. Yeah, but you never sleep or slumber. I was sleeping and slumbering. And so God has to deal with us until it's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. In the life I live by the faith of the Son of God who died and gave himself for me. That's going to take a while. It takes a while, usually it's by walking down the hall. But, you know, when the phone rang, I just kind of sprung up and didn't even think and barely can stand on my feet and stumble down there. And I didn't have time to even listen to Jesus, who was trying to tell me something on the way down the hall. Jim, this is a blessing, remember. You know, I didn't even hear that. You know, I was just stumbling down through the hall, through the dark thing. We don't have a phone in our bedroom. It's way out in the kitchen. So I had to go all the way out in the kitchen, finally got there. And I was really ticked by then. I was not at all excited. Stumbling into things, kicking things. You know, I was getting angrier by the moment. Punishing that person. But, you know, that wasn't Jesus. Don't burden the man. I'll burden him. I'll burden that guy. He burdened me. I burdened him right back. Jesus said, no, just listen. I'll tell you what to say when I tell you what to say. So now, every temptation came to me. Every temptation. I thought the most contradictory thoughts. When you're in a tough situation, you think extremes. And you have to sort it out. Jesus, what do you want me to say? What are you saying right now? Because if I could hang up, I can do a lot of things right here, but what is good? What is good? God is good. Celebrate me. And I got away from him. So I'm not even listening to what he's saying. It's a lot of just swear words. And he's repeating a lot of this swear words. He was repeating himself. That was because he was on marijuana and booze, you know. And so, you know, I had plenty of time. So I could even hold the phone out here, you know, because it's just swearing and booze and marijuana speaking. Hello, marijuana? Thank you. You know. But God has to get a hold of you. This is my son calling. This is my beloved calling. Not an enemy, not Satan, not a demon. But it had been easy for me to say, this is a demon. I get these calls a lot, by the way. But it's easy to characterize them as, Oh, my God, because you can look on the little machine, it tells you who it is, you know, in the daytime. You can see who it is. Oh, my God, I don't want to talk to her or him again. This is the 14th call. They do that. You keep calling, and then a few minutes later, they call you right back. I just told you the word of the Lord. That's what I want to say to them. I just told you the word of the Lord. But that's not exactly love. And I don't want to pick that thing up. You might not want to be a pastor. Because it's not really all joy and fun. Count it mostly joy. So God knows. But then you'll get another phone call from somebody. Pastor, I just want to thank you. You've been such a blessing in my life, et cetera, et cetera. See, then that makes up for the 10 other calls. So you hope you get one of those. God is good. God alone only is good. None is good but God. I am not good. I confess. I repent. I'm not good. God, I have no goodness in me. There's no goodness in me. So instead of trying to drum it up and perform and fake, I could be a fake and perform. Well, let's see. I saw Pastor Jim did it this way. I'll fake that too. I heard that other minister go like this, and I could do that too. Yeah, but you can't do that because it's not the Holy Spirit. You have to wait for the Holy Spirit, not just do what you feel like doing or what somebody else did that seemed spiritual. I could do that. It isn't hard for me to get on the phone and say something spiritual like some other minister has said. I could do the same thing. It's a temptation, believe me, not to listen to the Holy Spirit fresh, but to just to say some standard thing. I could do a lot of things. But the Lord would notice that that wasn't him. He would notice. Jim, did you check with me on that? Yes, sir. Pastor so-and-so did it the other day and it worked good. I'm trying that. No, there are no standard answers. There are no answers at all. None. Say the first scripture comes. That's just a trick. No. You got to wait on God. So you have to be dead. God is good. So God has had to deal with me first. Jim, do you know how good I am? Yeah, but it's 3 a.m. No, Jim, do you know how good I am right now at 3 a.m? Yeah. And he was dealing with me. He wasn't dealing with that person. God had to deal with me first before he could deal with that person. Do you understand? So he had to deal with me first. That was me yesterday when that guy said, come to Africa. No! Didn't take me long to respond. Absolutely not. And then I went ahead and volunteered. I hate Africa. I just volunteered that. I could have just said no, but I wanted him to know, don't even try. Don't even go there. I hate and despise it. It costs money, it takes time, and you eat bugs, and I don't want it. I don't want it. And I just told him all that. He just smiled. He didn't care because he's African. He's not paying attention at all. Pastor Jim, I came all the way, thousands of miles, just to ask you personally. Sit down. I was here last year. We didn't come together. I know. It was good. It was great. I didn't have to go to Africa. But I'm back. Yeah, I know. You guys are always back. Couldn't you save money by staying over there? And then after I heard his story, Holy Spirit said, listen, powerful. I'm like, wow, that happened since 2 years ago? That's God. I'm in awe. All right, I'm open. Jesus, what do you want me to say? And then he just opened my mouth and just all those words came out. I should have waited a little longer. Let me pray on it. That's what I was going to say. Let me pray on it. That would have been a good one. How many know that's one of the standard things you can say? Well, let me pray on that. Let me pray on that. That's a good way of doing it. See, that gets you off the hook right there. Now, let me pray on that. Oh, man, that's a good put off. That is a great put off. Because how can you argue with that? Well, let me pray on that. That's why I'm glad I'm not around Robert anymore, because he didn't want me to pray on it. He just wanted me to do it right then and there.
Let's pray right now.
Well, I hate that idea. Because it's more obligation, more burden. Who's good? God. Are you good? No, yes. No, yes. No, you're not. Yes, you are. Because it's through a relationship, not through a performance. So the no is for the performance, but the yes is through the relationship. I'm imputedly good through the faith in Jesus Christ and His blood, but I'm actually good through the work of the Holy Spirit, who's doing a good work in us to will and then to do of God's good pleasure, because God made those deeds before the foundation of the world that I should walk in them last night and yesterday afternoon and today. He's already got those deeds worked out. I don't know what they are, but He does. And He doesn't tell me ahead of time. He doesn't say. You have to check with Him every minute. He's kind of keeping you totally dependent on Him, see? It's kind of like, God, just write it down and I'll try to follow it. No, no. He wants to talk with me. Because there's something about the Bible, even though He's written it all down, I don't know which one applies to me right now. Now, God, is it Abraham today or Moses or Jesus or Paul? I don't know which one. Which verse could it be? You cannot say, I'll just quote a Bible verse. You can't just quote a Bible verse. The devil quoted a Bible verse to Jesus. But Jesus quoted another one. How do you know which one to quote? None is good but God. You see, Jesus knew that whatever the devil said wasn't good. But whatever Jesus said was always good. Whatever the devil said was never good, and what always Jesus said was always good. Why? Because God's good. And that was His Son. And you and I are now related to Jesus as sons and daughters of the King. Therefore, we're walking in works that were prepared before the foundation of the world. You didn't do one good work because they were already prepared, and you didn't do any of those prepared works. He did them. And He's didding them through you. You're the one doing His work. No wonder you don't get any credit. You're just simply dead so that He lives through you to finish His work. So we are now completing the works that He began. The good work that He began to do in you, He will surely complete. Surely goodness. Surely goodness and mercy. What? Whose? Who's good? God. His goodness. Whose mercy? His mercy. Surely goodness and mercy, His, will follow me. I didn't produce them. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. They're following me. You know, they're following me wherever I go. They're right there. They're following me. You know, and they're following me wherever I go. His goodness, His mercy, God is good. And He's always following me. And He's leading me. And He's under me. And He's above me. And He's within me. And He just permeates my being because He wants to manifest His glory to me and through me, for me and in me. It's all relational. Everything is relational. It's all relative. Relative to Him, I can do a good work. But relative not to Him, not being related to Him, I can't do any good works. Even though that's why I was originally created, I was created to do good works. My mouth was to praise Him at all times. All times? When do you get to say, huh? When do you get to say that? I had a good one. That was a good one. That person deserved that. Under the law, I was right. I gave the person the law right there. Did you see that? That was my own doing. I did that work. But it doesn't give life. I was punishing that guy. Hey, what does he deserve? He's drunk and he's filthy and so on. What does he deserve? Yeah, give him what he deserves. What if God did that to us? Huh? Yes. God. What if he answered like that? That was awful. It was awful what I did. But don't call me at 3 a.m. I hate that. I hate that. Stumbling down the dark hall, tripping on things, bumping my toes. Don't you hate it when your toe, your little toe especially, always your little toe for some reason. It always, ouch. And then, you know, you just don't say praise the Lord. You say other things. God is good. You're not. Stop. Oh, that's wonderful to hear that. Oh, good. I'm not good. I'm glad to know that. He's good. He'll do it all. He's done it all. He always does everything. Let him take the burden. Doing good is burdensome until it's not. God is good. That's why he enters into a relationship. He says, Jim, is that too heavy for you? Yeah. Well, let me take that burden. Jesus, here, you carry this for Jim. That's what Jesus carries. I love it. Now, when I get a cross, I just hand it to Jesus. Jesus, remember that other cross you carried? Here's mine. Carry mine. I already did, Jim. Well, okay. Well, I was about to pick it up. No, all I wanted from you is take a blessing. It's a blessing for you not to do good works. Let me do it. I'm better. I can do it. And God saw that the light was good. And when God was all done with his creation, he said, it's good. It's not good that man should be alone, but I'll make him a help. I'm always going to help man. I'm a helper. I didn't want to help that man last night. I wanted to hurt him, injure him, punish him, get even, vengeful, protect myself. No, God is good. God is good. You see, that man blessed me because I got to talk to God. I wasn't doing it. I'm sure I was having one of those normal dreams where I was probably in the center of it. I don't know. Most of my dreams, I'm in there. Has anyone else noticed that? You're normally there. Have you ever noticed that? That in your dream, you're usually the main character? I don't know if anybody else has noticed that or not. I usually am the center of that thing, whatever it is. I'm somehow there, flying over houses, you know, resisting or doing something or other. My dreams are interesting. I do dream a lot, and I like them. I just can't catch them as they're disappearing. I'm trying to catch it. I'm trying to remember it. Just seconds ago that I was dreaming it, and all of a sudden I lost it the minute I woke up. Oh, what was that? That was interesting. Anybody else have dreams like that? Every once in a while they're vivid. So vivid that the Holy Spirit brings it to mind. And it'll change your life. You don't have dreams every night like that. But every once in a while you have one so vivid, you realize it's speaking to you. Has anybody had a dream like that? Yeah, those are powerful. They're powerful to get you to repent, or to get you to believe, or to get you to be holy. Only God is good. God is good. You're not good. None is good. But how is he good? He's good because he removes the law, puts you under the gospel. That's good news. Good news. That's what gospel is. Good news. Euangelion. Good news. It's good. So, I hope you know today that God is good. And he's good to you. He's good to you. He's not good to me. He's good to you. You should tell your face. Let your face know. Face. Because some of your faces need to know it. You know, you haven't got it from your heart into your head down to your face. Get your smile. It's good. God is good. He loves you. He died for you. He took all the burden off of you. He didn't give you what you were due. He gave you what you weren't due. Free. Voluntary. Didn't have to do that. He just wanted to. I wouldn't have done it. I did what I wanted to do to that guy last night. I didn't do what God wanted. I wanted to give him what he was due. And he called me up to swear at me and give me what I was due. We were giving each other payments. Have you ever had anybody like that that you had to yell at because it was good for him? You deserve this. You know, have you ever had anyone like that? Peg and I will do that every once in a while. We'll give each other what they're due. Actually, we did that last night. It's good. You and I noticed Peg will more focus on my bad than her own. I noticed that. Does anybody notice that? And I see hers clearly. And she'll focus on mine. That seems unfair, especially if I was first. I'll tell her that. I was first. I said it first. Y'all, is anyone juvenile like I am? That is so juvenile. And Peg will say, you know you're just as evil as I am. Well, I have some smart aleck answer. But God is good. You're never right. Just let God be right. Just let God do it. You're not the one that wants to relate to God. He's the one that wants to relate to you. You don't want to relate to God. You want to be the center of your dream.
That's right.
But God wants to be the center of your life. Reality. In fact, God is the center. He's good. So at the beginning of your whole life, you have experienced the love of God, the goodness of God. It'll never go away. And now at the end of your life, get a hold of this. Something powerful. End your life today. Enter into the goodness of God. Everything's going your way. God is good. All right. Now I'm going to read a scripture, and then we're done. We're done. Hebrews 13:21. Oh, I love this Bible. It's really good. 13:21. And now, the God of peace, 20, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you. Now may the God of peace that brought again Jesus from the dead, our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect. Make you perfect. Now may God make you perfect, not you. In every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, not through you, not through the law, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. It's beautiful. Now, can you do good works? Yeah, because of the work of God, the God of peace, working through the blood of the cross, through the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit, to make you perfect. That's up to him. He's obligated. I did not obligate him to do that. He obligated himself to me. That's why I'm taking it. Okay, God, do it. Do you do the work? You do the work. You do it. Because I'll just grunt until I learn, until I'm perfected. But I know the good work he began in me, he will surely complete. I know if he begins a work, he'll never leave it imperfect. Like, oh, I started a good work in Jim and I didn't complete it. Or the man on the phone. He started a good work in him, but it's not complete. I was going to try to end it right there last night. You know, but Jesus is not finished with that person. Why? Because that person was not the problem. I was the problem. He called me for help. And even though the way he was asking was the wrong way, I was punishing him for that under the law. Hey, that's not the right way to call. You call before 10. You don't call drunk and marijuana'd up. You call me sober so we can have a nice discussion. We have meetings at church for decent people at decent hours. You know, but I got him good under the law. Amen? But that wasn't a good work because I burdened him. Well, I tried. But he just swore away. I'm telling you, I learned swear words that I didn't even know. I did not know those swear words. I guess it's the marijuana doing it, but he could just come right out of him And he could say in one sentence more swear words, us all packed together. And they were aimed more or less in my direction. Oh, God is good. That was good. That was a blessing. Thank God. I already spoke to him this morning. Cheerful. Praise God. Write him off or take away his burden. Let him know that God is good. I hope you're blessed today. God is good. That's why we should say it every day. I didn't quote that scripture, but the Bible says in the Psalms, say continually, God is good. So you should say it. And in fact, it also specifies every day. Say continually, but do it every day. So there's something to that. Otherwise, I will meditate on negative troubles, problems, whatever. And there's plenty of those. There's plenty of things to grunt at. But there's no reason. There's no law. There's no necessity to grunt. There's rather the privilege, the right, the freedom that you have, because he's taking care of everything. Why should you worry? Why worry? Why waste time worrying? I do. I think everybody here does. I worry about stuff and, you know, think on it as though I'm burdened. Somebody has to think of this and somebody has to care. And, you know, you take on those burdens and it'll not only run you down, it'll ruin you. Because after a while, you're just beat down. I think that's why I was tired last night. Probably not physically. I was tired physically. But probably just you get overwhelmed. I have four major things to do in 2 days. Yesterday was day one of the 3 days. And I didn't get accomplished very much. But I did. I worked all day, but I didn't get it accomplished. Now today, I have to do everything in 2 days, and I'm not going to do it. Then on Thursday, I have to drive to Austin for 3 days, and I'll never get anything done. I'm just, you know, I have to cancel everything and so on, and then I still won't get it done. So that weighs on you, and you worry about it. Yeah, but what about so-and-so called you? You haven't even called them back. And so I'm writing out lists, and then I have so many lists, say, you know, and so on. You just get overwhelmed. So you have to say, God is good. Praise God. I'm going to go totally unprepared to Austin. I'm going to totally not have the lease ready for the renters or the house fixed by the time they move in this Thursday, which I won't even be here when they're moving in. And then I won't have it's just too much. And that's only the smallest one. They're the big ones I haven't even gotten to at all. And I'm not going to get to them now. But I did have a list. I made a list that on Friday you'll do this, Saturday, and so on. But something happened. And I didn't fritter with my time away, which I usually do. I didn't fritter. I'm a normal fritterer. Does anybody hear a fritterer? Whatever that is, I have no idea what that is. But it's me. Whatever it is, it's a perfect description of me. I'm sure I wanted to sit down with David at some point and find out what he learned over there in Israel. Probably came back rich. Blessed. Because God is good. God is good. All right. The Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Woohoo! Amen. All right. Love you all.